Hello, this is Rod Sloan, and welcome to episode 45 of the No Bull Sales and Marketing Alignment Radio Show. Thank you for listening and turning this podcast into the success it is. Over 13,000 people have listened to this podcast. Now, the smart way to download and listen to this podcast is via iTunes, which I'm sure you're probably doing already. But if you're not, the easiest way to pick up this, future and past episodes of the Sales and Marketing Alignment Podcast is to go to the iTunes store, search under podcasts, and then search under the No Bull Sales and Marketing Alignment Show. I put the podcast with a black and white graphic and just click on that and you can pick up all our shows. Now, our guest on episode 45 of the Sales and Marketing Alignment Podcast is Gerhard Schwartner. Gerhard is a legendary figure in sales, not only in North America, but across Europe. He's the founder, of course, of the Selling Power magazine. He also founded the Sales 2.0 conferences and the Sales and Marketing 2.0 conferences. And, of course, his latest venture is the Sales Op Shop, which I encourage you to go and look at. So Gerhard probably has his finger on the pulse of what's happening in sales across North America and Europe more than anybody else. So he's got an expert view on what's likely to happen to sales in the next 10 years. And that was what I asked Gerhard about in our interview. So let's get across now and listen to Gerhard Schwartner. So today I have on the line Gerhard Schwartner. Hello, Gerhard.
Hello, Ryan.
Gerhard is the founder of the Selling Power magazine. He also runs the highly successful Sales 2.0 conferences and has recently founded the Sales Op Shop. So I guess you're really an expert on time management and productivity then, Gerhard, more than anything else, are you?
Well, I try to limit myself because Schopenhauer once said that restriction is happiness.
Okay. So you've been running a Selling Power magazine for a number of years, a couple of decades. How have you seen selling profession change in that time? How do you see it changing in the future as well?
Well, everybody knows that selling has gone through an enormous amount of change. In the past, we focused on selling skills and sales motivation. And technology has changed the game of selling. It has changed the way people buy. It has changed the way salespeople connect with buyers. And a lot of people get confused because to succeed in a sales organization, you need to align people, process, and technology. Mm-hmm. Technology is really the game changer. Today, you have over 2,000 different sales applications available where you can automate pretty much anything from getting automated information on prospects, listening to all social media channels, join the conversation. You have technologies that help you configure price and quote, shorten the sales cycle by accelerating the pipeline through marketing techniques where sales and marketing, if it's optimized and aligned, can be much more effective. In many companies I see now where 60 or 70% of the leads are generated purely by marketing. Mm-hmm. And that accelerates the sales cycle and increases the sales results. So the biggest change, I think, is that salespeople are facing today is there's a huge trend towards social and mobile. Yeah. And social is where buyers now complete about 60% of their buying steps online before they actually talk with a salesperson. And then salespeople are a little bit confused when it comes to assessing what level of knowledge does the customer have at this point when they're talking to them and what they need to do in order to bring the customer up to 100%. They don't know which pieces of information a customer really needs in order to complete that buying cycle. But on the other hand, salespeople are not always ready. When you look at the Aberdeen research, they say that 87% of buyers feel that salespeople are not adding enough value to their sales call, that don't have the information they need in order to make a decision. So we are living in an era where there's so much information and so much data and so little insight. Mm-hmm. And that's where sales managers can make a huge difference by building sales enablement systems that equip salespeople on mobile devices with all the information they need in order to answer all customer questions.
So if buyers are calling salespeople in later than they ever did before, does that mean that a lot of buyers and prospects have a different view of salespeople now than they would say 10, 15, 20 years ago, do you think?
Well, the views of selling has changed constantly, and even the definitions of what is selling has changed. And in the past, salespeople were viewed themselves as filling a need, finding a need, and filling that need. Mm-hmm. Or they define sales in terms of a transaction where they exchanged solutions for money. And buyers looked at salespeople as, in the best case scenarios, as real, true problem solvers and solution providers to, on the other end of the spectrum, a nuisance and a waste of their time. Ideally, buying and selling is a continuous process that leads to different experiences. And the biggest challenge for salespeople today is having the capacity to add value to a company, to a customer's organization in a B2B setting, meaning that they need to have more business acumen and understand more about the buyer's business so they can be helpful and bring deliver insight. I always say that knowledge is no longer power. Knowledge is a commodity. Mm-hmm. Customers need is insight.
Okay. Now, I saw you speak in London recently, and two things stood out when you spoke. First, you mentioned what you thought was the number one skill for any salesman, and you said that was curiosity. So I'm just curious why you said that, if that's not too cheeky. And B, you also mentioned how there's a forecast for a huge downturn in the number of direct salespeople in B2B companies in the US. Can you just expand on those two thoughts, Gerhard?
I'd be happy to. I think that the first one, curiosity, is something that I think we good salespeople have something in common with explorers. You know, when Amundsen went to the North Pole, you know, the whole world was listening to that. And or when, the first people went on the moon and you knew that something significant has happened. You know, mm-hmm. Salespeople who are curious, they want to explore the customer's mind. They want to explore the customer's business. They want to explore the customer's future. And they want to make a difference. And they're curious about their profession. They want to learn continuously. They don't give up on reading new books or scour the internet for better information. So the curiosity to me is the number one success DNA that a lot of people don't have. I'm curious by nature. I'm always intrigued by trying to figure out how things work. And I've interviewed a lot of very, very successful people that, billionaires. Mm-hmm. And, look at Warren Buffett, one of the most successful investors in the world. He's always reading, he's always studying, and he's always thinking. And I did an interview once with a Harvard Business School professor. He says that thinking is an experiential form of action. Thinking is very cheap, and action is very expensive. And a lot of people, fire, aim. It's aiming, and then firing. I think successful salespeople think before they act. They take a half a step back and analyze the situation before they make a recommendation. So that's about curiosity. The downturn in the number of salespeople is very simple. You look at the progress technology has made. Look at the computing power that you have on a single chip. And when you look at Moore's Law and see the progression, you will have more speech recognition like we have on the iPhone. We have Siri that recognizes speech. But you also have computers responding through speech commands in your car, you know, I can say radio and listen to radio and change the station. Or I can say navigation in my car and the navigation pops up and I give my computer in the car voice command. And voice command has been something that IBM has developed through the Watson project, where they have created computing power that is astonishing, because there's a show called Jeopardy, and they know that the average response time is about 3.8 seconds. And they added enough computing power that Watson can respond to a question, a human voice, that articulates a very complex question, and Watson can answer the question in less than 3.5 seconds. And now the medical community is using that same technology to allow doctors to cross-check their diagnostics with Watson.
Mm-hmm.
In a very short period of time, you will have, I would predict 2 or 3 years from now, you will have the people being able to ask intelligent and complex questions online with human voice and get either video answers back or get typed answers back or get a human voice answer back about very complex subjects that actually will replace a lot of the communication that happened between buyer and seller. So you right now you have that still that internet component where you do a Google search and you search a product and get some information, you have interactivity with certain websites. But what I see is that the face-to-face salesperson's role is diminishing, and the online salesperson or the inside salesperson's role is expanding. And also the role of the support salesperson is expanding. So 5 years ago, there was nobody in charge of sales operation. The title sales operations manager didn't exist. The title of customer success manager didn't exist. So there are a lot more job titles when you go to LinkedIn, and it's astonishing how many job titles are designed for sales support. So there's more sales support and there are fewer real salespeople.
So if you were in sales then, and that's a prediction that maybe there's going to be a requirement for fewer salespeople, what are the skill? If you wanted to stay in the sales game then, sales business, for a number of years, how should you be adapting? What tools should you be embracing? I guess is my question.
I think it's a good question. The ultimate skill is adaptability, to learn in real time, on the fly, and do it right. We are shifting from a delay economy to a real-time economy. So in the past, you know, customers said, I'm interested in XYZ product, and you know, can you give me some more information? And then the salesperson, you know, would go back and study this, and then send a proposal. And now you can go on a website and configure your own tour bus that you want to buy for your company and select the seats. And so everything is happening in real time. And then you can attach the visual configurator, or where you know exactly what it looks like, including the paint scheme. You can send this to the manufacturer and order a bus. So what I'm saying is that the adaptability of a salesperson to create something in real time for the customer is the number one skill. So if you ask me today, you wanted to shop for something, or you want to get, you know, compensation management software, for example, I would, as a skilled salesperson, would give you all the, would search all the information and would have it at my fingertips on my screen and walk you through either a video conference call or a WebEx call and give you a demo and show you everything that you need to know or that you want to know. So, in other words, we need more salespeople who can make something out of nothing in real time.
So, all these pressures are on salespeople and sales management. Maybe there's fewer of them, but budgets are going up, they're struggling to get to talk to prospects. And I then see that you run a number of conferences. So, A, what sort of people tend to go to your conferences, Gerhard? And B, what would you say to people who say, well, I know what I need to do. You know, if I go to a conference, all I'm going to hear is same stuff again, the same old, or somebody could be trying to be selling me stuff. Why should salespeople take time out of their, you know, precious time to come to one of your events?
Well, that's a really good question, and we are studying that too, because I think that people don't know what they don't know, and in conferences, what happens more often than not is that serendipity is going to be a huge door opener for the people who attend the conference, because they're getting exposed to what other people are doing. I give you one example. If you had been at a Boston conference, you would have been exposed to an executive vice president of a $50 million company that is has visions to go public in 2 years. And the person in charge of sales operations has presented a roadmap of their sales applications of 21 different applications that all work in sync with Salesforce.com from the beginning of a sale to the end, to the close that leads to the electronic signature. And people were absolutely stunned to see to what degree sophisticated automation, sales automation, can free salespeople to do a much better job. And what a company has enjoyed now, growth rate of 30% year over year in a market that's highly competitive, where the average growth rate is maybe 3-5%.
Mm-hmm.
So you cannot discover that by running in the same circles. I think that the number one thing that we have learned through let's say social networking like LinkedIn, there are other people out there that do the same thing that you are doing, and that may have a better solution. So today, in order to be successful, you need to make the right connections, and you need to step out of your squirrel cage. A lot of sales leaders, they're on a merry-go-round, and they talk to the same people inside and not with their peers outside. And that's why I've created the Sales Ops Shop, to allow sales leaders to connect with others so they can ask peers who are in similar sized companies and ask for advice on how to get to the next level of success. And what's really neat about it is that all those people who are on our site, they share their applications map. And so you can see, oh, Rob, you're using Marketo for marketing. We don't have a marketing program, and I'm in the market, and you probably have gone through the shopping cycle. Can you educate me what you have learned? So instead of me spending weeks and weeks in discovering the same thing you've already discovered, I can learn from you more in 10 minutes than I can learn in 5 weeks.
Okay, so that's that sharing and, you know, the wisdom of crowds, in effect. Well, not quite wisdom of crowds, but the wisdom of the people that have gone through that. Okay.
Wisdom of your peers. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not the crowd. It's not like LinkedIn where I make a massive number of connections, class connections. You make connections with people who can help you. So when you look at any application of the Sales Ops Shop, you have a button that says, who is using that application? See who is using that. So you click on that, and all of a sudden you get a list of 10 or 15 or 20 sales operations managers, sales leaders, VPs of sales that are using the application that you want to know more about. So you connect with any of those, and you get peer-to-peer advice, and that is really precious because it accelerates your learning.
I want to thank you for your time today. Where should people go online, Gerhard, to find out more about Selling Power, the Sales 2.0 conferences, and the Sales Op Shop?
All right. Go to sellingpower.com, and that is our main site, and you'll find information on Sales 2.0. We also have over 400 videos. I do video interviews with very successful people, and on different disciplines like sales success, sales psychology, sales technology. We get over 350,000 visitors a month on sellingpower.com. And then you go to the salesopshop.com. That's salesopshop.com. And you can become a member of that community and network and make your life a lot easier.
Okay. Gerhard, I'd like to thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Rod. It was a pleasure and an honor to work with you.